Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Isaiah 61, I'm going to read from the New King James tonight. Isaiah 61, three verses. Are you ready? On the screen as well, I believe. Let's go. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your power, your presence, your word that goes forth like a hammer, your word that goes forth like fire, your word that separates joint, marrow, spirit, your word that's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. So unsheathe your sword tonight and have your way for the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, oh yeah, good to be in church on Sunday night. You may be seated. During our travels, I had numerous people say to me, oh, Alaska. I mean, it's amazing when you travel Alaska, I think you live in an igloo. Oh, Alaska. I heard it's really dark up there. Or other people emphasize, oh, I heard that it's always light up there. And the way I explain it is, for those of you that are online, the way I explain it is, all around the world, summer, the days are longer. Winter, the days are shorter, and it's more extreme as you move towards the poles. And right now in Chile, it's moving into summer. It's spring, summertime in the nation of Chile in South America, different hemisphere. But I heard when we were traveling this time, oh, I couldn't live there. It's dark, and I would just get depressed. And I thought about that. I like sunlight as much as the next guy. But you know, heaviness and oppression is something more than environment. You said, well, no, I heard the doctor tell me that vitamin D is a real thing. And right around now, and the days are getting shorter and shorter up until December 21st, that there is a deficiency in the population. Is that right, Dr. David? Deficiency of vitamin D. And they tell you to take vitamin D and so on and so forth. My first couple years here, I thought, I'm not doing that. I have the Holy Spirit, so I don't need vitamin D. I'm not going to feel that seasonal sadness. Don't raise your hand if anybody knows what I'm talking about. So I remember after, I think it was probably my second year, I was praying and just feeling like somebody threw a wet blanket on me. I felt like the Lord said, you need vitamin D. I'm like, oh, okay. So I went and got this stuff called liquid sunshine. And it might have been, my experience was real. Whether it was a vitamin D or a touch of the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure. Because I took that liquid sunshine and felt like I got rebaptized in the fire of the Holy Ghost about 30 minutes later. I'm just like, Yes, let's go. It felt like summer, even though there was no sun anywhere for days, months, years maybe. This text is so profound because it deals with something that people are struggling with, not because they live in Alaska or California or Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii. There's people that are depressed that live in Hawaii. There's people that are oppressed, that are bound. The text says, King James, New King James, verse 2, people that are bound. He said that has nothing to do with environment. I think environment plays a role, certainly, but we serve a living God who can touch you and refresh you in the deepest, darkest prison. I was at the prison where the prison epistles were written in Rome. It wasn't a part of our tour, but I started figuring out exactly where we were at the forum, and I realized I could run to the prison. And so I said to our guide, I said, I'm gonna take off and run to the prison. Would that be okay? And the guide said, don't lose us. We'll be walking. I said, I won't. So I took off with another brother and I ran to the prison where Paul was kept. And I laid hands on the prison and just thanked God for all the epistles and thanked God for the writings of the Apostle Paul, books like you preached from the book of Philippians and different ones, just got so touched. And then I asked him, I asked the Lord, oh God, let a writing anointing come on me. I want to write. I need God's help with that. No matter where you are and what you're going through, you could be in a prison, you could be in Hawaii, you could be in Alaska, you could have lots of sun, you could have no sun, you could have cold temperature and hot temperature. The enemy would want you to be confused and bamboozled to think that your emotional well-being or your joy comes from maybe your environment and your foods that you're eating. Not like your food can affect you. Now, I know that because I've been eating carnivore for about 2 years. And I backslid to hell from carnivore and instantly gained 25 glorious pounds. Hallelujah. It's fantastic. But I noticed something. I noticed that when I ate more sugar, the drop of that, I could feel that. And my ankles look like tree stumps. Inflammation. All right, let's get into this a little bit. It's a prophetic word here of describing of what the Messiah would do. And everything that I shared with you thus far is really introduction. It's a prophetic word describing of what Jesus, the Messiah, would do. He reads this text in Luke chapter 4. You can go and look there if you like, verse 16 to 22. It's the same text in Nazareth. In Nazareth, he reads this. The scroll of the Isaiah is passed to him, and he reads it. In Nazareth, where he does many miracles, but he wasn't received there. They didn't receive him. They were offended at him. You look at Mark 5 and different places where Jesus couldn't do many miracles there. They were offended at him. Isn't this Jesus? Aren't these his brothers and his sister? Isn't this Joseph? Mary's son, Joseph, the carpenter's son, isn't this Jesus? And he could do no miracles there because they didn't perceive him as he was. He is the King of the kingdom. He's the Messiah. He is Emmanuel. He is the one who would come to declare and proclaim and finish the sacrificial system. He's the last Adam. Come on, someone say he's the last Adam. I don't like saying the second Adam because it sounds like maybe there's a third. There's no third. The first Adam is the one that forfeited everything along with Eve. And the last Adam, some call the second Adam, his name is Jesus. He came and undid everything that was lost. The Garden of Eden, where sin entered the world and in dying, man died. He came in another garden. As he prayed, his sweat became like drops of blood. We were in the Garden of Gethsemane. We were there just a week or so ago. Pastor Karen preached. I have this quote from Dr. Morocco in my heart. that all the world, all the history of the world, revolves around two gardens, the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane, is a message you preach called the Two Gardens. And as we were there weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane with these ancient olive trees, they said, we were the original trees that Jesus... They say they're not the original trees because olive trees don't live for thousands of years. Well, they live for as much as 1600, 1700, maybe 1800 years. And those trees there were, some of them were that old. Now, Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, is the anointed one. The anointed one of the Messiah or the Christ. Christ is the anointed one or Messiah. It's the ruling, reigning king. And we read these three verses of our text, you get a picture of what God came to do. And his first message that he preached in Luke 4 is this text. It's a picture of dramatic change. I don't know about you, but I remember coming into the house of the Lord. I remember coming in broken. I remember coming in so desperate. I had tried everything. I was in my mid-20s. I had at the very end of my rope. I didn't even have a rope. Somebody said, I'm on my last thread. My threads were gone. I was hopelessly in despair, bound, addicted, confused, depressed. I had spent time in mental hospitals. I had been through a whole lot. Oh, but when I came and heard the glorious message of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, when I heard that the anointed one who came to defeat hell, death, and the grave, when I heard Isaiah chapter 61, I said, oh, I'm bound. Well, then the text says you can be free. You do not have to stay addicted. You don't have to stay in depression. You don't have to have a spirit of heaviness. You don't have to be in this place of Lodabar, a place of despair. Tonight, I preach to you once again the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can be delivered, that he came so that you can be free, so that you can be delivered from addiction, depression. That's why he came. We're not having church tonight because we have to try to prove some religiosity or check the box, as Pastor Kirsten would say. We're having church because we love him and we worship him. And I declare to you, I proclaim to you, I preach to you, Jesus paid the price. You can leave this house tonight totally delivered. Come on, lift your hands and shout to God. That is the truth of the gospel. And it needs to be proclaimed. It's a picture of dramatic change. I've shared this before, and I've heard so many other stories as well. My brother came to the Lord about 4 years ago. They just moved out of Alaska, going down to the lower 48. I think he's driving now somewhere. And in the course of him coming and moving up here for the past few years, we talked about our childhood together. I'm the youngest of three brothers. And in talking with him, I said, hey, did you ever think I'd end up being a preacher or anything like that? He said, what? No. I said, really? He said, no, you're nothing like you were. That's what happens when you receive Jesus. He changes you. He transforms you. He helps you to renew your mind. You don't think the same way. You don't talk the same way. You don't live the same way. He'll deliver you. You say, well, I just got saved last week. And everything's maybe better, but it's still mostly lame. Listen, you didn't get jacked up in a week. You've been eating meals of jack-up for years. You give your heart to Jesus. He takes out the heart of stone. He puts in the heart of flesh, and then he teaches you to walk with him. When Karen and I first met, oh, that was a glorious meeting. I said, who's that girl? She's fine. But it took us a while to get to know each other. In fact, we're still getting to know each other. You receive Jesus. You get to know him through his word. And you get to know him by serving him. And you're going to see this dramatic change manifested in your life. I'm so glad that you came to this one Sunday night service. But truth is, if I only took my wife out once in 1996 and we never went out again, 95? You know, we wouldn't know each other very well. It's a relationship. So this text talks about dramatic change. When God touches your life, things will change dramatically. Some of you need some dramatic change. Hallelujah. Good news is proclaimed, verse 1. Proclaimed. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm publicizing the good news. I'm broadcasting the good news. I'm trumpeting the good news. I'm telling you that you don't have to be bound. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be depressed. You can be set free. You can be changed. Come on, somebody say amen. That is proclaim. You can be changed. It's proclaiming it. It's trumpeting it. It's heralding it. The truth of Jesus Christ crucified, risen again from the grave. Receive him and he'll wash away all of your sin and throw it as far as the east is from the west. Good news is proclaimed to the poor. What's good news to a poor person? By the way, they're spiritually poor, physically poor. There's lots of different kinds of poverty all across the board, all kinds of poverty. What's good news to somebody who's in poverty? You don't have to be po no mo. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, hey, you don't have to be po no mo. Broken hearted or healed. Oh, a broken heart. A broken heart is one of the most difficult things. One of those painful things. You don't have to have a broken hearted. Most people are broken hearted. Deeply disappointed and broken hearted. Over a relationship, brokenhearted over their lives, brokenhearted over all kinds of things. Sin will give you a broken heart. Living apart from God will give you a broken heart. Living for God heals your heart. Those that are bound are set free. To be bound, it's to be like handcuffed, it's to be tied, it's to be gagged, it's to be muzzled, it's to be bound or oppressed. I've known many, many, many believers that go to church and are bound. They're still bound by lust. Lust controls them. They're still bound by fear. Good preaching. Wednesday night. Still bound by fear. They're still in captivity. They're still bound. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I can't be bound. Jesus lives in my heart. No, you can be bound. And without going into it, we've many, many times before. And I will say to all of you that have been in church for a long time, some of these deep truths that we've preached thousands of times, it's just like, oh, yeah, I heard that. Don't ever get a heart like that because some people have never heard it. So you can be bound as a believer. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you can be bound. Odds are you are bound. Simon Magus in Acts 8 is a good picture of that. He was bound. Some call it demonized. Some call it oppressed. This text says that the bound are set free. God's favor and justice have come. Oh, how I love that. Mournings turn to joy. Joy. The joy of the Lord. Nehemiah said it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Mourning has turned to joy. We become oaks of righteousness. I'm just moving right down the text here. We become oaks of righteousness. Like I said, my ankles look like an oak of righteousness from all the oaks of righteousness. Look at that. My God. Wow.
Don't you dare.
I don't know. I like pushing on stuff. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? She knows me. She's like, lift your hands to Jesus. Ask God if you're bound. Ask him. You go ahead and ask him. God, am I bound by anything? Ask him if you're imprisoned by anything. Ask him. And you might be surprised, but he would say yes. You don't have to be bound. You can be free. That's what this text is all about, and that's why Jesus came. It says in Psalm 1 in verse 3, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. King James. That's God's intention. God, listen, God's intention, God's plan, God's will is for your life to be so changed that you're no longer bound. For your life to be so changed, you're no longer depressed. You're no longer under this cloud of oppression or depression. No longer sick. No longer infirm. No longer brokenhearted. No longer in a prison. No longer in that place where you're tormented. That's why Jesus came. He came to set the captives free, and it's a glorious thing to realize that, oh, I might be a captive, and ask God, Lord, am I captive by anything? And in that, then realize he doesn't want you to be captive. He doesn't want you to be bound. He doesn't want you to be in that place of captivity. And then to move forward into a place of faith, into a place of confident assurance, for it is this reason that Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes to oppress. The devil comes to bind. The devil comes to imprison you. The devil comes to oppress you. The devil comes to put a spirit of heaviness on you. But Jesus has come to set you free, to make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that you'd walk in righteousness and truth, that you would be an expression of a dramatic shift and a dramatic change. The whole state, the whole nation, the nations of the world need to hear that Jesus is the answer. I chose the New King James. King James, you could use King James as well. NIV doesn't do it. But it says, verse 3. Look with me, verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. Oh my. The oil of joy for mourning. And a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. New King James, King James. I'm convinced that one of the strategies of the enemy is to get you out of joy and into heaviness. And there is a spirit of heaviness. There is an oppression that'll come on you. And some of you are struggling and suffering with it, but by the end of this service, you will no longer be, if you'll respond and mix this message that I'm preaching to you with faith, you will no longer have a spirit of heaviness. The enemy tries to rob us of joy. The Hebrew here for joy means to shine, to be bright, to dance around. To dance around. Chaplain David was with us, and your father, your grandfather, your father-in-law. It was Friday night, and we were at the hotel. It was raining. Some people went off to the wall at the start of Shabbat on Friday night, which I regret that I did not. But at the same time, if I did, I might have missed the dinner. I don't know. We had this dinner. It was packed with Jews. I mean packed. And what they do is they come into Jerusalem and they celebrate Shabbat and they fill the hotel. They fill the hotels and they have these massive Shabbat dinners. And it just started getting wild in there. No, they all make you look backslid. I mean, like, getting wild. And they're singing and they're clapping and I mean, it's almost like they're intoxicated, but they're not. And the one song our guide told us what they were singing. I am not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. I will never be afraid. I will never be afraid. I will never be afraid. And they're singing and they're clapping and they're getting up on chairs and it's this incredible party. And I'm just, yes, let's go. I wanted to get in there and just, oh. And when I couldn't take it anymore and I'm trying to behave myself, I'm not quite sure why. I didn't want to embarrass Pastor Karen and I was tired. Your father stood up and he couldn't help himself. And I wish I got my phone out and took the picture. You can be overcome by joy. Some of you need to. You've been sucking on lemons for so long. You're heavy and depressed and like, my God, woe's me, poor me, poor me. And then you're like, pour me a drink. You need a touch of the Holy Ghost. You need a touch of the Spirit of God. You need to be reminded. You need to be reminded of this text. Joy. Joy. Joy is a mark of fellowship with the living God. And if you have a lack of joy, it's not his fault. But it is a good opportunity to check your dipstick because you might be a couple quarts low. Bump your neighbor and say, have you checked your dipstick lately? Jake Butcher drives a 1994. It's not an 84. 94 Chevy step van that drinks oil. And if you don't put oil in that thing, she won't be going far. She has a pretty heavy oil leak in the rear seal. It's got 300,000 miles on it. 250. If he doesn't put oil in his 1994 Chevy Stepside, puke green. If he doesn't put oil in that thing, what's going to happen? The motor is going to seize. Some of you, your motor has seized. Some of you have lost your joy. You've lost the touch of God. There's a place where the yoke will break. There's a place in God. And you've got to learn to shake off the heaviness and shake off the despair. And you've got to check your spiritual dipstick because you might be a couple quarts low. Shoot, some of you don't have any oil at all. Somebody dragged you here. You were towed here on a flatbed. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets our captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. The abundant life does not come when your oil is low. The abundant life is not found in depression, thinking that God put it on you to teach you humility. The abundant life does not come by being addicted, does not come by being bound, does not come by being depressed, does not come by anything the enemy would serve to you. And there's all kinds of cheap substitutes that want to try to take the place of the oil, but there's an oil of deliverance, there's an oil of joy that'll come to you when you get hungry, you get thirsty, you get fed up. And if somebody come and shout and spit and pray over you like I'm doing right now, you realize there's something a whole lot more than whatever you've been walking in. You can be free. You guys all right? Psalm 16. Turn there. Verse 11. New International Version, 1984. You will show me the path of life. Life. Zoe. Life. You'll show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Let me run that through one more time. In your presence, there's fullness of... Still can't hear you. You know, depressed people can't shout. Did you know that? And let me just tell you, if you learn to shout, you won't stay depressed. If you're shouting unto God, Psalm 16, verse 11, you show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of
joy.
Not bad. Joy's got to be contended for. You got to fight for it. I know some people that are just a bunch of sad sacks. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sucking on their bottom lip. No. What is that expression? Their bottom lip hangs so low that they could suck marbles out of gopher holes. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know. Listen, I know that there's going through things. We've been through some things, and then there's more things to go through that are yet ahead. It's part of living in this fallen world. But when you go through things, don't keep going. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Don't pitch your tent to the valley of shadow of death and then build a church building there and then tell everybody how you should just suffer and suck on lemons your whole life and show a picture of deep humility. No, that's false humility, and it's distortion of who God is. Let me just tell you, you get to heaven, it is not sad in heaven. There's no sad sacks in heaven. There's no gopher hole, marble-sucking people in heaven. Though they're in hell, but it's far worse. Let them shout for joy. Can I hear a shout in the house of God? Oh, it's good to be home. Psalm 35 and verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And shall come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We were in Venice yesterday? Maybe? And we got a tour of the St. Mark's Church that's there, which was amazing. And there's this bridge called the Sighing Bridge. It's recent. It's called the Sighing Bridge. It's the bridge that they walk over within the prison that's right there. It's the bridge they walk over before they go into their cell for the rest of their lives. So they get to this point, and it's called the Sighing Bridge because they're about to go into the cell, never to come out. And they go in and... And they go into their cell. That is not a picture of the Christian life. Picture the Christian life as you come out of your cell and you begin to shout and live a life of joy, not a life of depression, not a life of hopelessness. And it's good to hear a message like this when there's 3 hours of daylight in Alaska, just to check yourself to see how you are. You a couple quarts low? Where, how's your joy? How are you feeling? Are you encouraged? I don't live according to my feelings. I used to. It's a very painful life. I endeavor to live for my spirit, live according to the word. And many times I'll lay hands on myself and say, shut up. All healthy believers talk to themselves. The psalmist said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. So where is that? Psalm. It's in the Psalms. It's David. 70s maybe. Maybe it's the 40s. He's like, oh, they're all around me. oh, it's terrible. Oh, and then he says to himself, shut up. Quit your belly aching. Put your hope in God. That's my translation of that. Put your hope in God. Learn to adjust the way that you speak. Quit agreeing with darkness. Quit agreeing with depression. Quit agreeing with depression, bondage. Quit agreeing with all the sad sacks and all the, what if it doesn't work it out? Stop. You will never do anything in God and never fulfill the plan that he has for you if you keep partnering with darkness and you stay a few quarts low all the time. Nobody wants to be around that either. See me like, I don't have any friends. Could it be you? Nobody wants to be my friend. Well, maybe you're depressing. It's my personality. You know, some of you attribute to your personality was actually a demon. Some of you have made decisions about yourself. You say, this is the way that I am as my personality, but really you're just bound and you have been for so long that you really don't even know what your personality is. Jesus wants to live a life of his joy, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy, hello. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy are they talking about? What joy is that? How did he endure the cross? He knew what was to come after that. Being separated from the Father for the first time in eternity. It's kind of a funny way to say that. Again, I've said that for years, but then it started dawning on me. There is no time in eternity. So how do you say separated from the Father? Since before creation, he's the uncreated one. And he endured all of that because he knew what was to come. Well, what's to come? Redemption of mankind. You and me, redeemed, washed, cleansed, set free. You know, that's a key of how to overcome the mess that you're in right now. It's a key. Turn to John 15. That's a key right there. If you'll set before you what will happen if you'll endure the difficulty, the hardship, if you'll endure, what will happen is that joy will come in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I've told the story numerous times, but we lost a little boy who lived for about 15 minutes very difficult for the Bracken family. That I dare to say was more difficult for my wife. She didn't feel God's presence, which might not be a big thing to you, but it's huge for her and for me. God's presence is very important to us. She did not feel the presence of God for 11 months. Would go in church, would sing, but no presence. God was there, it's just she was just seemingly dead. And she endured. She kept going to church. She kept reading her Bible. She kept praying without feeling God's presence, God's power. And then one day, some intercessors came over 11 months into her hardship. It was grief. Grief can do that to you. And grief is a process. It should not consume your whole life. You know, we met people over there in Israel. They lost their sons. They lost their daughters. When I went 150 days after October 7th, I met a family in one of the kibbutzes that was attacked. They told us the story of how the attack came. And maybe I've shared this, maybe I haven't, but I think it's important. They would drive, they were very close to the Gaza Strip, so they would drive and pick up these Palestinian families to bring them to Israel to get medical help, because in Palestine they didn't have the kind of hospitals and the kind of incredible medical advancement treatments that they had in Israel. So they would go and they'd pick them up. And there was some educational things that they brought. So it'd bring picking up this family, different families, they'd pick them up. And they'd bring them back to the kibbutz and they would eat together and all that. And during those times of picking up those families mapped out the kibbutz that they were visiting, where all the where the armaments were, where their safe rooms were. They mapped out the whole kibbutz so that when they came and attacked on October 7th, they had a clear map of where everybody was, where all the leaders were, where all the guns and were, and where all the safe rooms were, and they came and they wiped out nearly everybody. Can you imagine helping somebody? And he was telling me, we helped them for years. And he lost one of his kids. And you could tell he was hurting, but he had like this joy. And I asked him, why are you here giving tours or doing this? He said, because I want everybody to know. Tell all your media people. I want the media to come. I want people to know that Israel belongs to God's people and we will never leave, and that God will help us. Notice this powerful quote. Let me see if I can get it right. We forgive them for killing our sons and daughters. Golda Meir. We'll forgive you for killing our sons and daughters, but we will never forgive you for making us kill you. You know, that is a very intense topic. Depression and oppression over there. It's our guide who guided us said, I'm not the same man that you knew back in 2015. We've all been changed by what's happened. There is a place, however, in God where that all will break off you. For Karen to finish that story, Pastor Karen, some intercessors came and they begged her to come play the piano. Pastor Karen plays some piano. She said, no, but they wouldn't go away. God spoke to us to come get you so that you could play piano for us while we pray. So she went to an all-night prayer meeting or whatever it was. It was a few hours, I guess, on one of those nights. And she came back filled with a joy and a radiance. I mean, it was like she lit up the house. When she walked in, she said, thank God. I'm free. I feel God's presence. It's over. Tears running down her face. She said, it's over. It's over. It's over. Thank God. It's over. It could be over for you tonight. You have to learn how to do that, though. You have to learn how to touch the hem of his garment. You have to learn how to appropriate the grace of God. You have to learn how to get the keys to the kingdom and flow and step out of this place. Keys, please. You have to learn how to do that. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He thought his wife, his family is gone. Ziklag. Everything's burned with fire. And it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to, come on, do you know how to access oil? Do you know how to access oil so that you don't walk in depression and sad sackedness? John 15 told you to go there, verse 11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. God has joy. My joy may remain where? In you. Make it personal. My joy may remain in me. That your joy may be full. That my joy may be full. John 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive. That your joy may be full. Joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. joy. This text is so profound because it awakens us or reminds many, and perhaps even for the first time, that you don't have to live in this place of depression, bondage. You don't have to have a spirit of heaviness. You can be set free. Or you can keep it. If you'd like to keep it, go right ahead. But I hope to preach you to a place tonight and every other time I'm before you of incredible discontentment with apathetic religiosity that leaves you in a place of heaviness with no power and no joy. Why would the enemy want to rob you of joy? You know why? Because if he can rob you of joy, he robs you of your true identity. The identity of in God is to be filled with joy, to be filled with hope. Yes, there's sorrow. Yes, there's grieving. And it does endure for a night. And a night can be weeks and months at times. Don't accuse God. That's what the devil does. I think I was talking to Ed Dilley. We were talking about painful situations and difficulties. And I told him, I'm confident that I'll be good with whatever comes my way. I'm decreeing God's plan and will. But you know, parents don't live forever. I mean, unless they're born again, then they go to heaven. But I may have been through some death. That's real. But I'm confident that no matter what happens, war, no matter what happens, I am confident that God will carry me through. I've settled it. I've settled it already. God is good. I will never bring an accusation against God. Because I know too much. I've experienced too much. I hope to know this more and more, to grow in the knowledge of God, but I've settled it. I've settled it. What have you settled? God is good. Period. When you're going through things, I'm not going to attribute evil to God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to question him. I mean, therein lies the rub. We rest on God's sovereignty, which means he does what he wants, when he wants, whoever he wants to. Some of you have taken that to say, well, then God just sovereignly put this depression on me. No, no. You have to discern. Solid food is for the mature, Hebrews chapter 5, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern that which is good and that which is evil. So you need to clearly understand from God's word what he desires, what his intention, what his plan is. And it's joy, it's victory, it's hope, it's faith, it's confidence, it's overcoming. That's God's plan. So then you take your situation that you're in and take a good look, lining it up with God's word, and see if the suffering that you're currently in, God is allowing for that to happen to produce something in you. I mean, Paul is on the ship called Andromeda. Oh, God will never let our ship sink. Well, the ship sank. With, 280-something souls on board. No one died. Is it possible that you're in an Andromeda experience? That's the book of Acts. Is it chapter 27, 28? Is it possible that you're an Andromeda experience so that you could stand up and say what Paul said, the God in whom I serve stood beside me and spoke to me? Is it possible that you're in a situation that's difficult, painful maybe even sorrowful, so that you could stand and say the Lord said, the word of the Lord is, and that people would hear the word of the Lord, and then you would swim on broken pieces and come to an island called Malta? Oh, God would never do that. Really? Well, he did it to the Apostle Paul, fairly anointed guy. It happened. Judging whether something is the Lord's will or not God's will or it's the devil. I mean, It can be kind of challenging sometimes. But if you let him speak to you in the midst of your difficulty, he'll give you hope. And he'll give you strength. And he'll give you joy. Joy, joy, joy. Give you joy. And he'll give you the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord for tonight. You'll make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it through. You're going to overcome. Break agreement with depression, heaviness, sorrow. You're made to be full of joy. Not three quarts low. The reason that 1994 puke green Chevy needs so much oil is because it has a massive leak on a rear seal. Fix the rear seal and it will not leak anymore. Some of you leak all the time because of that porn problem you have. You want to justify over and over how smoking weed is legal, and you're asking God to bless your weed smoking, but really it's a rear seal leak that just very well might take you to hell. Can I get an amen? Feel like I'm preaching in the Methodist church right now. And not the shouting Methodist. Can I get an amen? What do you have, a rear seal leak? Your anger problem? Do you have an issue that's causing you to leak out oil? Have you opened up yourself to be demonized, to be oppressed, to be bound? You know, Jesus never castigated, never embarrassed, never made fun of anybody who'd struggle with bondage. He just set them free. Lift your hands to Jesus. Deuteronomy 5. Verse 9, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands and to those who love me and keep my commands. You know, sometimes I'm very aware of generational blessings. It's highlighted for me right now as I'm watching my son and my daughter walk in the blessings of God, choosing it. And it's overwhelming to me. It's like a dream. And yet I see others choosing the same pain that their parents chose. I watched, I think the movie's called 42. Along with it's a movie I watched on the plane, along with about 100 other movies I watched in the 75 hours I was in the air. Jackie Robinson. It's about Jackie Robinson. There's this moment where Jackie Robinson was a black baseball player, and he was chosen by the Brooklyn Dodgers to play. Broke all protocol, upset lots of people. And there's this part of the movie where this little boy is sitting next to his father in the stands. And Jackie Robinson takes the bat and goes out to hit the ball. And his father starts screaming the N-word at him. And the little boy's looking at his dad, and he's looking at Jackie Robinson, and you could tell, like, oh, my dad hates him. And you could just see that they did it so masterfully with the cinematography, and you could just see that hatred for black people as portrayed in that movie just get passed to this little boy, who starts saying, "Yeah, you," using the N-word. I looked at that and I thought, man, I thank God that I'm not a racist, but what am I passing on? What's been passed on to me? See, some of you are struggling with depression and heaviness. You're struggling with perversion because it's been passed on to you. You still have to choose. You have to choose to break that thing. Look at what happened in your... It just got a little thicker in the room here. What time is it? Look at your family line and look at what's called besetting sins in your family. What are some of those things? Anger, control, manipulation. What are some of those things? Listen, you'll never have revival if you have a spirit of control. You'll never have it. Can't control everything. Look at, it's called a besetting sin. Sins that were in your family line. Are they operating in your life? You got to break that. If they are, you got to break it. Break agreement with it. And then learn to teach your kids, if you have them, to not behave that way. As much as I know that, I literally pass things on to my kids that I did not want to. And then they had to overcome. And they did. And they will. And they have. I've preached long. But not long enough. Let's keep going. You can have attachments that come from generational iniquity and heaviness, depression, sickness, and infirmity. You can certainly pair with that. I think you've gotten something. I think I'm done. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. Your word, like a hammer. I serve notice tonight against every assignment of darkness, the spirit of heaviness and depression. I serve notice against the spirit of lust, greed, anger. In Jesus' name, break your hold off of God's people. As they agree with this prayer. Break that off of your people. And I pray the joy of the Lord would come. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control would come. And that we would enter on into all that you have purchased for us. We would not receive the grace of God in vain, no. No, we would receive freedom and joy. Our joy would be full. Your joy would be in us. We would not be a bunch of sad sacks. Gopher hole, lower lip, marble sucking people. No. We would be people that would be like trees planted by the rivers of water. Trees, oaks of righteousness. That no matter what the wind does, no matter what storm may come, no matter what heads our way, no matter what obstacle or what trial, no matter what accusation, no matter what the enemy tries to throw against us, we would be rooted and grounded in your word, and we would know deep down in the city of our soul that not be moved, that you are good and you are more than able to free us, to provide for us, to deliver us. Oh, let the joy of the Lord be our strength truly. I break depression. If you're struggling with depression, stand. I break depression right now. You want to get rid of it, stand up on your feet. I break depression right now. I break it off of you. In Jesus' name, I command that thing to go. In the name of Jesus. Hey! Ho! Oh, depression. You gotta go, you gotta go, you gotta go in Jesus' name. Come on, those of you that stood, say depression. Come on, out loud, say it. Say depression. You've got to go. In Jesus' name, I break your hold off of my life.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.